I'm curious what you've done so far to tie up your TSP account to get it ready for whenever it is that you've got to take money and so on.
Well, I have done exactly the same thing for this event that I have done for all of those other events when the market goes crazy and you call and you say, what do we do, Tom? What should federal employees do? And I say, don't just do something. Stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the investment decisions that you made yesterday when you were not in a tizzy because the market was going crazy or because you were getting ready to retire are just as sound today as they were yesterday. And remember, this is a long-term plan, and so that's how you make your decision. So my decision is very easy. I am staying exactly where I was in one of the L funds. I've chosen the 2030 fund, any one of them would do for someone entering retirement as they do for anyone who is still working.
Now, you've talked to me about the L funds before, and you've mentioned that is your fund of choice. The thing that I always like to remind people is the 2030 number is not the year someone is planning to retire. That's the year that someone's planning to start drawing down. Is that right?
That's exactly correct, right. And so that is my investment horizon, and I figure that at age 61, which I will be here in a few weeks, I still have a fair amount of time in front of me for those investments, although I ought to be diversified across all five of them, and that's what the L funds do for me. Also, one of your listeners pointed this out recently. Bear in mind that every time there is an increase in the stock market or in any one of the funds, the L fund reallocates it that evening, so it continues over time every day to sell high and buy low,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the goal if you can figure out a way to do it, and this is a way that mechanically does that.
And the nice thing about it is it's automatic, right?
That's right.
The human being, me or you in this case, don't have to do anything about it.
That's right, absolutely. It's all done automatically for you. It brings it back into rebalance each evening of every day that the markets are open, and then on a quarterly basis, your asset allocation is slightly adjusted as you're on that glide path toward the date when you of the L fund, the 2020, 2030, 2040, 2050 date.
How long have L funds been around? It's just been a couple of years,
well,
right?
Well, it's been almost 5 years now. And I'll tell you, we passed a milestone. We had a board meeting today, and Tracy Ray, our investment director of investments, noted that now 20% of all FERS participants have at least some of their money in the L funds. And I noted in Pensions and Investments, which is an industry publication for the date of February 6th was the issue date, that the TSP's L funds are the largest L fund offering of any fund, any similar L funds anywhere, by an order of magnitude of 10. The L funds, as of September 30, had $33 billion in them. The next largest L funds were offered by Verizon, that had about $3 billion in it, Intel about $2.7 billion, Hewlett-Packard about 2.1, and it ratchets down from there.
Well, here's something I've never understood about the L funds, understanding how they're constructed, is the L fund already includes components of all of the other TSP funds.
And that's correct. That is all that it contains. The
right.
L fund comprises the five core funds on an allocation schedule that was designed by our asset manager to be the appropriate one for people who are X distance from wanting to start to collect or draw down their funds.
All right. So what I don't understand then is, and this is a rhetorical question directed toward you, it's not something I necessarily expect you to have an answer for, but I'm curious as to why folks would put some money in an L fund and some money in some other fund. It would seem to me that completely screws up the allocation.
That's a very good point. And the L funds, to be used properly, you should put all of your money into the L L funds, into one L fund. Or let's say, for instance, you're planning on starting your drawdown, say, in 2045. You might put half in the 2040 fund, half in the 2050 fund. If you wanted to do that, that would be perfectly fine. But some people, they're testing them out, and that's understandable, especially after we've had some market gyrations as we have over the last 10 years, and especially the last 3 years, where people want to get in and with a little bit of money and see how it performs. And then hopefully when they see that it does help them keep on a stable course, that they would move more and eventually all of their funds into the L fund of their choice.
Well, let me just throw this out there, Tom, because I'm not trying to be a smart guy. I genuinely don't understand. So if you're listening to this and you're doing that and you have an explanation for why that's your long-term plan to have some money in one of the other funds and some money in an L fund, drop me an email at frose@federalnewsradio.com, because I would like to share that with people if there is a good reason, because sure. I've never had anybody be able to give me one.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the board meeting and you mentioned Tracy. Now, knowing that you're retiring and Penny Moran is retiring, she's not either, is she?
No, Tracy.
Okay, good.
Day.
Okay, good. I just had a check.
The investments are safe. You know, they wouldn't let me anywhere near the money
for
my 25 years here. So it's always been safe, and Tracy's been protecting it lately. And it will stay that way. And we have, of course, Greg, who's been here for now 6 years. We have a rock-solid board in place and confirmed in their seats by the Senate, which has not always been the case, but it is right now, thankfully, and a terrific career staff that is very well-seasoned. And they are here getting ready to roll out the L funds over the next April, May, June period, over the second quarter of the year, and just carry on all of the operations in the TSP that everybody has come to expect.